The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When does a temptation become a sin in the mind? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You may have questions you'd like Dr. Bob or Sean to answer. You can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions on the Bible and theology. And I just want to give a shout out to the Mims family. Thanks for your questions, and I just signed a couple books for the Mims. They asked me for either a Bible quote or a Star Trek quote, and so I kind of mixed and matched. I gave the Star Trek translation of some my favorite Bible quotes.
Oh, I didn't know they had that.
Yeah, like Paul in 1 Thessalonians says, "Beam me up, Jesus."
He does say, "Beam me up,
Well, Jesus. He's talking about the rapture, but oh. Same idea, right?
Okay.
Anyways, the Mims family, we appreciate you.
Okay.
Are you ready for a couple questions?
I am. Yeah, let's go.
All right, here's one from Robert. When does a temptation become a sin in the mind? Does sin become sin first in the mind before it becomes an action?
Well, those are good questions, and it's hard to give a definitive answer, but there is a difference between a temptation and a mental sin. For example, hatred is a mental sin, but being angry is not sin. Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't
right.
let the sun go down in your anger.
Right.
But Jesus did say, if you have hatred in your heart, you've murdered in your heart. You know, Luther used to say, you can't keep the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair.
Right.
So the idea is, you can't keep temptation away. You know,
yeah.
someone cuts you off and flips you off, you're going to probably be angry. But you don't have to chase after them, and you don't have to start cussing at them and everything
right.
else.
I guess Luther is pointing to a difference between the temptation almost comes from outside of you almost as a thought, but the nesting is almost like dwelling on it.
Right. If Robert's asking the question, is there kind of a little fuzziness on when you cross that line, I'd say the answer is yes. So yeah. are there times when you're not sure whether you've committed a sin or not? I'd say the answer is yes.
Yeah.
The Lord doesn't expect us to be confessing these gray area issues. What he expects us to confess is when we know we've sinned.
Right. Does sin become sin first in the mind before action? I think it does. Wouldn't you say if we're kind of going to James, James kind of gives a little bit of a progression of how sin works. Do you remember where that is, James?
Yeah, it's James 1:15.
Yeah. What he says is, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. All right. So he's couching this in metaphorical language
right.
of birth and whatnot. But it begins with verse 14. He says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So it begins with the temptation. The temptation corresponds with the desire that you have.
Right.
You know, maybe it's a desire for revenge or something because you're angry because someone cut you off. And then when desire has conceived, what does desire conceiving mean, do you think? Is that when it becomes like a plan of action, like I'm going to act on this desire in your mind?
Yeah, of course, we're using the pregnancy and birth illustration all the way through here.
Yeah.
And so I think desire is conceived is when desire advances beyond a mere thought,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm beginning a plan of action.
Yeah, it's like you're choosing to act without acting yet, because
right.
the next step is, and then it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So it's like you choose to act in your mind, and then you do it. You act.
Right. You hit the person, or you chase after them, or whatever it is. And the death there is talking about is physical death, or, you know, within the wisdom literature concept, that would be anything leading up to death.
Yeah, it's the consequence of your sin, because
right.
sin never produces life, you know, just
right.
if you cheat on your wife or steal money at work or try to swindle people or whatever it is, that's not going to lead to your flourishing. It leads to death. It produces
right.
death in you and your relationships and whatnot. So there's a desire. It's almost like you can't help having a desire. It's kind of like you're
right.
saying, you know, it's like you just get angry spontaneously or whatever. But then there's that plan. There's that choice. So I guess it begins with the choice in the mind, and then it becomes a behavior to answer Robert's question.
Right. But it can be self-defeating to get obsessed about when you cross that line.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's like God wants us to be honest with Him. Those of us who are obsessive compulsive, or even those who have obsessive compulsive disorder, are likely going to struggle with all kinds of concerns that God doesn't expect us to deal with, which is why it's important, if you do have OCD, that you take your meds and everything else. And people need to think rationally.
Yeah.
And if we're not thinking rationally, like, for example, with me, if I don't eat every 3 or 4 hours, mm-hmm. I get lightheaded. My thinking starts to go.
Yeah.
And I become very irritable. I mean, I know you have this with your son, right, where you've
yeah.
told me before.
Absolutely, yeah.
If he doesn't eat, you know, it's like, it's not that he's choosing to be snarky. He just goes over the edge.
Yes.
And that happens with me. And what I found is eating every 3 or 4 hours is a spiritual exercise. I mean, I have to do it to maintain my spiritual health. Mm-hmm. And the same thing would be true with someone who's diabetic. If they don't take their insulin, they're not going to think straight.
Right. Well, so don't overthink it, basically, Robert. Just make sure that your heart, mind, and soul are directed towards God in alignment with His, you know, abide in His word and align yourself with Him, but maybe don't get obsessed over these gray areas.
Don't you
here.
Think? I mean, that makes sense to me.
Maybe should you just over-confess? Just be like, hey, Lord, I'm angry. I confess that.
Yeah.
You want to just do that? I mean,
well,
I don't know. Is that a safe thing to do?
That's not necessarily problematic,
yeah.
but it is a problem if you're confessing all the time.
Yeah.
I told you the story before, and I've mentioned it on the podcast. I was visiting with a pastor friend in Minnesota, and he was talking to a fellow pastor. It was a friend of his, and he had gone through about a 2 to 3 week period where he got a watch that had an alarm on it, a countdown alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would set it for 10 minutes, and the end of 10 minutes it would go off. And if he would think through the last 10 minutes quickly, did
yeah.
I commit some sin?
Yeah.
And if he didn't, he would confess the unknown sin.
Right, right.
And then he'd reset it, and 10 minutes later it would go off. He did this for about 2 weeks until he nearly had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, that's too
and
much.
Then he said, I'm done with this watch.
Yeah.
I think the moral to the story is yeah. the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin.
There you go.
And we don't need to be going around going, I wonder if that was more than just temporary anger, but it was hatred in my heart.
Yeah.
If you don't know, okay, it's okay to confess it, but the point is, we can go beyond what God wants us to do, and that's not spiritually healthy.
Mm. Well, here's a related question. This is from Paul. Paul's asking about Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered the world. His question, I'm going to boil it down to this. Basically, his question is, did sin come into the world and infect humanity as a natural consequence of Adam's disobedient act, as though God, you know, God's creation of everything was made in such a way that one sin would naturally affect everything? Or was the introduction of sin the result of God's judicial punishment for what Adam did? So I guess his question is, did God just build into the system that if they sinned, it would have all these natural consequences? Or is this something that God punished Adam and inflicted upon creation judicially?
It's the latter. And you can see it in Genesis chapter 3. We just had our conference on Genesis, and several of the speakers commented on it. I think it was J.B. Bond spoke about the fall. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, after they commit sin, God confronts them. I think this is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. But
okay.
In any case, He confronts them. And God said to Adam, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So he's blaming God.
Yeah.
You're the one that
God
gave me
woman.
The
yeah.
woman uh-huh. and the woman. So both of them.
Yeah.
And then the woman blames the snake.
Yeah.
She says, the serpent deceived me. So then the Lord sets about and says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast. On your belly you shall go.
Yeah.
You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then we get the great first gospel where he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So this is Jesus' victory over Satan, but yeah. Satan's attack on Jesus.
Yeah.
Then to the woman he says, I will greatly multiply your... Notice, I will greatly multiply
right.
your sorrow and your conception and pain. You shall bring forth children. God is doing this.
Mm.
It's not some natural thing. And then to Adam, he curses the ground and means he's got to work by the sweat of his brow. You're going to return to the dust. And so all of this is God's action. And this question comes up a lot when believers experience negative consequences due to sin.
Yeah.
Let's not just take physical death, Romans 5:12-21, but any consequence. Is this just the natural consequences God has built into the universe? Some people want to say that because they don't like to conceive of the thought that God would actually judge his children.
Mm.
They don't even use the word judge.
Yeah.
They don't even like using the word discipline.
Right.
They want to just say this is some kind of natural consequence.
Right.
And God has built it in so that if you do X, you receive Y.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with God taking action. It's just this is the way the universe is set up.
Yeah.
No, God actually takes action. And he sometimes will extend mercy. In the case of David
right.
with Bathsheba and Uriah,
right.
he doesn't take his life.
Right.
So God is actively involved, and we can't exactly understand all the ramifications.
Yeah.
Why is it that someone experiences lots and lots of more opportunities to repent and somebody else dies quickly? Like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. We
yeah.
don't know.
All right. Good question, Paul. Good question, Robert. And send your email or questions or thoughts to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about wanting to believe for eternal salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.